Well, good evening. We're going to get into our new study for year 2016. I pray the Lord has blessed you all in our studies of the pastoral epistles and just the wealth of truth, the wealth of blessing, the wealth of teaching that the Word of God has for us. We really want to start this year off well as a chapel, as an assembly, so with the Lord's leading, we want to focus on a few subjects specifically towards the Word of God. It is our instruction. It is everything for us. It is living. It is active. And so we're going to focus on a few specific topics in regards to the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. With that said, I want to challenge you all with your Bible reading. I have a few copies here, and I'll get more if those are interested, of reading the Bible in a year, okay? I started this in May of last year, and I'm 62.5% into my Bible reading. So hopefully by this coming May, I'll be done. But I can't tell you, I have to be honest with you, I have truly been blessed just to have a focused time of reading the Bible, studying the Bible, but just this has a good way of in one day you have Bible reading for 25 days in a month, and then those leftover days are to catch up. Things may happen, you may have to go out of town, or you forget your Bible reading, but you have days to make it up. This has a New Testament portion of Scripture, Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Genesis, and so on. So I challenge you all to do your yearly Bible reading. I did it once, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I think, where's Lisa? Lisa's in the back. Lisa and I believe Kathy finished their Bible reading, and the last time I challenged, this was like 2 or 3 years ago. So I'm challenging you all again to complete the Bible in a year, okay? And come back to me, and there was a special gift, special prize, okay? I know I gave it to Lisa. I'm not sure if I gave it to Kathy, but it's all right. It's Kathy. So Kathy will make sure, or she reminds me all the time. We had a wonderful time at the Believers Bible Conference, and I just want to share how amazing it was to be in the room with about 500 believers, all different walks of life, all different kinds, countries, ethnicities. We had a group from Japan there, and they were, it was amazing watching some of them in each seminar in the main message. They would be speaking, and there's a guy next to him, and he was holding a mic. He was translating and recording it into Japanese the whole time. It was powerful. I was amazed, but it was just amazing when you look at what the Lord has done by the power of the Word and redeeming and transforming lives. It is amazing to see that the Lord is still in His business, doing His work and redeeming people's lives. There is truth, there is life in the Word of God, and we want to press this point to our chapel here, the body here. We want to challenge, as young as you are, as old as you are, read the Word of God. You will find it a blessing, especially read it not only personally, but within your families. Take time out. I love one of the speakers at the conference said, "I challenge you all." He was really passionate. He says, "I challenge you all. Every moment you spend in front of the TV or on the internet or whatever, add 1 minute to that, and you should be spending it in reading your Bible and in prayer." So he's basically saying, double the time you spend in other things and spend it in the Word of God and in prayer. There's blessing there. The Lord is transforming hearts, and we have to see that. We have to see that. Why do we go around and think that we're believers and we're doing what God's will is when we don't even know what His Word says, right? We have no clue what His Word says. Why do we expect our children to come to Christ and be transformed if there's no truth? There's nothing from the Word of God in their lives. The only influence that you're allowing into their lives is this world and the fast-paced evilness of this world. We have to put ourselves let the Word of God permeate into our lives. So this is our focus. I really want to challenge you all to really get into the study and read the Word of God this year. We're going to do some really, we've done a lot of planning for this year. We're doing quite a few different things. So I pray the Lord will bless our lives here. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we come before you, Lord, and we seek your hand and your leading in this study. Lord, the power of your word to transform hearts, to continue to work in our lives and make us holy and blameless before you, Lord. This is what we desire, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, not that we just see this as another message that we need to get through, Lord, but we want to hear from you. We want to see what you would have for us today. Help us to glean the words of truth. Lord, lead my heart, lead my thoughts now, Lord. Give me your words. Lord, take all distractions away, Lord, and even if we are a cause of a distraction, Lord, may we just focus on you. Lord, we thank you, and we just ask for your hand. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The power of the Word of God. There's a story, Arnott McEntee, hope I probably didn't pronounce it right, but tells the story of a preacher at Orator's Corner in Hyde Park, London, England. A heckler interrupted and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you have been hearing this chap talk about God, heaven, sin, the devil, and hell. I hope you won't believe a word of it. I don't. I definitely don't. I refuse to believe anything I can't see." Another man spoke up, "Friends, I hear that not far from here runs a river. I don't believe it. Many say the grass here is green and there are shrubs which have beautiful blooms. I don't believe it. But now most of you think I'm talking like a fool. The more I talk like this, the more you are convinced I must be blind and you're right. I was born blind, but does that justify my not believing in the beautiful creation around us?" Turning to the skeptic, he continued, "You, sir, have disproved nothing," the preacher said. "What you did prove is that you are spiritually blind, and that's why you don't believe what many people here know to be true. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God." Many people here, many people in the world cannot see. They're spiritually blind because they reject God's truth, or they don't want to seek it out, right? They're spiritually blind. They're deceived. And we must be of the Word of God so that we may present the Word, the power of the Word of God to them so that they may know Christ. It's powerful. It's transforming. It's alive. It's a living Word that's active. And that's what I want to show you today. The power of the Word of God to save, specifically to save. Other brothers are going to speak on the power of the Word of God in other areas. But specifically today, the power of the Word of God to save. Think about it. How did you come to know Christ? Was it just all of a sudden you came? No, there was a leading, right? There was instruction that you were told the stories, you were told the good news, and by the transforming work of the Lord, you came to accept and believe, right? Belief comes by hearing, right? Power the Word of God to save. I want to focus on a few scripture passages. The main one, the main text is this first one, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Paul is writing here, and he's emphatically beginning this letter. And he's writing this to believers to encourage them, to build them up, to understand, to remember afresh the gospel. We saw that in Timothy, right? We saw that in 1 Timothy, again in 2 Timothy. We saw that in Titus. He said, remember the gospel. Remember this gospel that has redeemed you. There's power there. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is he saying here? I want to use this as a jumping off point, this for the power of the Word of God to save. Why is it powerful? What does it do? What does the Word of God do in people's lives, and how does it redeem them? I want to show you this three-phase part of my message, I guess. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? What is it? What is he talking about when he says, for I am not ashamed of this gospel? There was many false teachers in the church back then. There was many people coming in talking about Gnosticism or another revealed truth, or people that said you must work out your salvation or you must know something more. But what does Paul say? For I'm not ashamed of this gospel, this good news, because, what is it? This big word here, right? Two-letter word. For it, meaning the gospel, the good news, is the power of God for salvation, right? For it is the power of God for salvation. Redeem hearts, transform lives to everyone who believes, right? It is so emphatic. This is like this verse and the following verse is like the capstone verse of this great treatise, this great theology in Romans. It's the redeeming gospel. It's the power, this good news, this message is the power of God who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? He's saying, come one, come all, right? This is really opposite of the message that we hear from other religions, right? You must be something. You must accept this truth. You must give this up or whatever it may be. But he's saying, for all that understand this transforming news, this transforming message, the power of God transforms and delivers hearts, brings salvation, and it's open to all, right? And what else does he say? For in it, what does he point back to? It, this IT is the best word here, right? It, the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed. The path of righteousness, the right standing before a holy and just God is revealed. And from faith to faith, faith comes by hearing it. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It brings salvation. The power of the Word of God and the message of the gospel brings deliverance, transforming work. I was sitting at this conference, okay? And I was taking it all in, just being blessed by the messages and everything. And I was just saying, Lord, did you do this work, this amazing work where, I mean, it's something when you're sitting and you hear 500 people singing, and can it be? I mean, it is that, oh, an amazing, I mean, they're singing it with their hearts out. And it's singing with such power because they have been redeemed by the power of the gospel, and has brought transforming work in people's lives. It is still, as we speak, transforming lives. The power of the Word of God to transform. What is it? What does it do? What does God do through His message, His good news in people's life? So I want to use this, the gospel, the power of God for salvation and the righteousness of God. Hebrews 4:12, you know this. You know this verse. This tells us of how powerful the Word of God is. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's living. It's active. There's power in God's spoken, God's written Word, and through the Holy Spirit, He applies that word in our hearts to convict, right? To teach us, to instruct us to righteousness. What does that look like? So I'm going to use each of these verses in this way. So I'm kind of giving you an outline of the verses that we're going to go through. And then, of course, you know 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. But as for you, Paul teaching Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. These sacred, these holy scriptures, these living words, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, you hear that, right? It's making, it's an active work. It's working in people's lives. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You hear this message here of a continued work. It's the living word of God discerning, teaching us, instructing us, and continuing to work in our hearts, right? It's the power of the word of God to transform, to deliver us, to redeem us. Have you ever thought about that? I found when I'm away from my reading, away from studying the word of God, I lose the emphasis it has on my life. I lose the touch of how the Word of God is transforming my life. It becomes like another book in my library, right? All those books are dead. They don't have life. There's nothing to discern. Sure, I studied biology, I did public health, I did all these studies. They told me after seminary, you can't graduate unless you have 1,000 books. 1,000 books in your library. I may have spent all that money. I didn't really remember a lot of those books. I learned some knowledge and how to apply it to the word, but this continues to be the powerhouse of change in my life. Is it in yours? Is it in yours? Think about it. In your family, how does your children view the word of God? How do they understand how this relates to everyday life? How does it instruct them? I want to break this down a little bit in our short time here. But how do we understand the power of the active living word of God to save our lives? So the first part, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Why does it have a power to save? Why? You have to think this out. Why when I bring a track and I give a track out, what is in it that leads someone to truth? What brings truth? What brings knowledge to them? Because Paul is saying, this is what I stand on. This is what I proclaim to you, and this is what you should remind yourselves if you're a believer continually, because it's delivering you, it's transforming you, right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I want us to think about it this way. 3 points in 3 verses, okay? It reminds us or instructs us of God's story. So I was telling Jonathan this, I believe. At the conference, there was a brother named Paul Bramson. How many of you all know Paul Bramson? Anyone? So Paul Bramson, out of South Carolina, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's been a missionary to Senegal for over 30 years, or 40 years? 30 years, right? Probably 30 years now. And his seminar was great. He said that, you know, it's great to witness. It's great to give out tracts. But what he finds more or less is, in very snippet, in a very short amount of time, you give them a few verses, and the Lord can use it. Don't get me wrong. The Lord can use it and save them. But he's found, especially dealing with Muslims, you have to tell the story. You have to tell the story. You have to relate it to what they believe, right? They start with the Quran. They start with the Pentateuch. And he says, you have to bring it back and remind them or instruct them of how it relates to what they know. And he used some of these tracts here. And I started reading this when I got back, and I was just amazed. Amazed at how it goes into, from Genesis, from the prophets, and uses Moses and Abraham and everything. And he tells us of how we relate to all that God has created. That God has created. For I'm not ashamed of this gospel, this message. Did this message just start in Matthew? Did this message just start in Matthew? No, right? It started from the foundations of the earth when God spoke, created the world, and the power and the word of God went out amongst the waters, right? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. You have to see this so you understand how it relates to what Paul is saying here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." Then God said, God spoke. God's power, God spoke into creation. "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. You see, the power, the gospel of the message, the good news is God has his hand on the whole world. And from the point of creation, he's been delivering a message towards his creation. He's instructing us that the power, the word of God was from the very beginning. You know, this also tells us, it reminds us of God's story. I love saying his story, right? It's his story. Paul was living in the land of the Romans, right? The land of the Romans, land of authority, the peak of an empire. And he was maybe speaking to the believers there and saying, you know, let me tell you of the ultimate authority, the authority in life, God and his plan, his good news, his message. And it relates to you today because it's transforming in lives still. It's the authority. Authority of the Word of God in our lives. It has authority in my life. My parents made this a prime example of our thoughts. I remember even going to India, and when I was young, I got to confess, I didn't like going to India because it was very not American, right? Well, of course, but it wasn't what I was used to. It was, you know, hot, sweaty, mosquitoes. You thought there was mosquitoes here. Got nothing on you in India. But I remember very young when we would go on our trips, at probably Anjali or Aaron's age, at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear my grandfather singing at the top of his voice hymns. And then he would speak, and this was all in Malayalam. It wasn't in English. It was in our native language of Malayalam. And I was like, oh, I just want to sleep. I got jet lag. But then I started to think about it. I was like, why would this man of 60, 70, 80 years old wake at 4 o'clock in the morning to scream from his, not scream, but sing of his Lord and sing stories of God's redeeming power in his life? Because even in his old age, it was still powerful to him. And that made such an imprint on my heart and our mind to say, this is what God is talking, speaking to us. It's the power for I'm not ashamed of this good news because it tells me of God's story. What else does it tell me? It reveals the redemption plan. Now, when I say that, you guys would start to think and say, yeah, of course, the gospel message is revealed in the life story of Jesus, right? No, it reveals the redemption plan from when? From Genesis, right? From Genesis, from the prophecies, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 53, Micah 5, you name it. It reveals God's redemptive plan throughout history. And not only that, but the power of the Word of God to work in hearts in the Old Testament and the impact that it had, pointing to what? A future day. Oh, that day. Oh, that day. Turn with me to Genesis 3. We're going to be doing some turning here, but I want us to make an imprint on our hearts here. Genesis chapter 3. You know this, very familiar. Verse 14. And so the Lord said to the servant, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go. And you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Turn with Isaiah 53. Very familiar verses. Go ahead to Isaiah. I'm going to read Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. What do we see in 53? Let me get here real quick. And they made his grave with the wicked, verse 9. But with the rich at his death, because he had not done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It reveals the redemptive plan of God. One more a portion here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The power of the word of God. Why is it important to read? And what is the word? Why is there power in it? 1 Corinthians 15. Paul speaking here and says, think about these things. Think about them. They bring confidence. They bring truth. They bring power. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. You are saved by this gospel, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. What does it say? According to the scriptures. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The most powerful witness we have, one of the most powerful witnesses we have is when we bring an unbeliever to the word of God. When Paul Bramson brings a Muslim to the word of God and say, hey, you believe in the Pentateuch. Let me show you some things. Let me show you some prophecies. Let me show you how God is revealing his redemptive plan. And let me take you to the New Testament. And who does it reveal? According to the scriptures. There's power there. And there's power to help hearts understand and come to truth. Come to understanding. Come to salvation. For I am not ashamed of this gospel, of the gospel, for it is the power of God to redeem hearts. What does it also say? Turn with me. Restores our souls, power to change lives. Romans 10, very familiar portion. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They have not heard of it. The word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is it just reading words? No. It's God actively working through his living word, being part the Holy Spirit convicting hearts, transforming lives. You know, I was my time's almost gone, but anyway, this is good. I was 10 years old, I came to know the Lord. 10 years old through high school, I was not really discipled. Even through college, I started to be discipled, but I still was not challenged to share the gospel. I knew I had to do it. I knew I was called to do it. But I was like, the missionary, the evangelist will do that. That's not my gift. Until someone challenged me to take the word, That means take the gospel that the Lord has redeemed my heart with and walk up to someone and say, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know what God's plan for you is? And until I saw it, when I was asking someone a question, do you know for sure if you were to die today and stand before God, what would you say to him to let you into heaven? And when I saw someone actually tear up and say, you know what? No one's ever asked me that, and I don't think I would go to heaven. Until I saw the conviction in their lives and how they knew they were sinful before God, it never became real to me. I challenge you just to walk up to somebody, someone that doesn't know the Lord, or just someone, and share the gospel with them. You will see the power of the Word of God to convict and to bring them to understanding. It was powerful, amazing. I was in Florida, and doing an evangelism seminar, and we went to A1A. Anyone been on A1A? It's the strip in Fort Lauderdale. It's right on the beach. Tons of Europeans, tons of all wickedness. And you name it, there was wickedness there. And we were there passing out tracts and sharing the gospel. And again, I came up to some Europeans and I shared the gospel with them. And some of them were open, some of them could care less. And I shared the gospel with them. And when I showed them before a holy and just God, and I used the Ten Commandments, how they are sinful before a holy and just God. And when you see the conviction of the Word of God in their lives, you come to understand, whoa, it's not me standing here. It's not me just saying some words. It's God working in their hearts. There's power there. Power, as Paul is saying, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Let me share another thought here. Scottish physician W.P. McKay remembered seeing his mother in agonizing prayer over his salvation. Agonizing. But it did not move him, and he grew increasingly godless. Years later, he treated a badly injured laborer. That the man asked that his landlady be called. And he asked her specifically, hey, bring me the book. Bring me that book. McKay was deeply impressed with the happy expression constantly on his face. After his death, a nurse asked, what shall we do with this? Holding up the man's Bible. McKay wrote, I took the Bible, and could I trust my eyes? It was my own Bible. The Bible which my mother had given me when I left my parents' home, and which later, when short of money, I sold for a small amount. My name was still in it. Written in my mother's hand, he concluded, the regained possession of my Bible was the cause of my conversion. And later he wrote, we praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Seeing the hand of God work in a believer, in a person's life, to bring them to salvation is powerful. This is done only by the Word of God. It brings transformation. It brings life. For the Word of God is living and active. Let me run through these. And I want to, as we're going through these topics every Sunday, I want us to be challenged for 2016. I want us to be blessed. I want us to find God's direction, God's truth, God's instruction for our lives, so that we would reap God's blessing, see God's blessing in our life. What does the Word of God? For the Word of God is living and active. Why? What is he saying? What is the Hebrew writer writing here? Well, it exposes. It's a critic, a discerner of the heart. To see the sin and unbelief in our own hearts. I can't tell you, as I was going through my reading plan this year, I was refreshed, but I was reminded of just some of my thought life, some of my baggage, you could say. As you read the Word of God and you dwell upon these truths of Psalms 119 or dwell on some of the awesome stories of the Old Testament, I was convicted. It convicted me. It showed me the sin in my life, or how maybe I was unloving to my children, unloving to my wife. It exposes, doesn't it? When you open the Word of God and you read it, it's a mirror. It's a mirror showing you what God wants you to see and how there's a lot more work to be done. For the Word of God is living and active. Do you see that? Or has the Bible become a nominal thing? Has it become just a newspaper? Or something we pass by? What else does it do? It enables. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It enables, it moves our heart toward God as we read it. It moves our heart to obey God and believe, claim His promises for our life, right? Helps us to see His promises, but it enables us to understand them by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Do we even want that? Some of us will run away from it. It's too much. I feel too uncomfortable. But God wants so much more for us through understanding the Word. What else does it do? I said it enlightens. It enlightens through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us holy living, progressive sanctification. You know, we're in Sunday school, we try to teach these guys, did you read your lesson? Did you do your lesson? Did you read the passage that was related to it? You have to understand the context. You have to understand what the Holy Spirit is teaching you so that our lives would reflect the glory of God, right? Reflect Christ-like living. It enlightens us. It teaches us. It brings us to understanding. For the Word of God is living and active. I'm going to close here and not dwell on these passages too much, but again, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it draws me to him, to my source, to my Savior. Do we want that? Or, you know, I people come to the Christian life and they say, I kind of plateaued. I think that's a false thought, false thinking. There's no plateauing in the Christian life. It's either if you're running to Christ, if you're running to Him, or you're running to the world, you're drifting. There's no plateauing. That's a lie. You lie to yourselves when you say that. Your children will see that in your lives. Kids, if you're not following after God, knowing His Word, praying, meditating, understanding what it is, if you're not doing that, you're going down. You're lifting up the world as the idol in your life, and you're following the world. You're running after the philosophies of this world. But Paul is saying, the power of the Word of God is living and active. It's drawing you. When we take this up, when we are following Christ, we want to know Him more. We're going to just run through this real quick. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Paul telling Timothy, continue. Firmly believed and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Profitable. I love that. It gives us a compass. It gives us understanding of what is right and wrong. It's a mirror, like I said, to see our sin and in need of a Savior continually in our lives. The Word of God, dependable, inspired by God, accurate and trustworthy. Word of God, profitable to me for what? Every situation of life. It speaks to every... There hasn't been one thing it didn't speak to. I have not found one thing. It speaks to every aspect of life. And I just wrote down here, doctrine, to know what is right. Reproof, what is not right and sinful. Correction, how to get right before God. Instruction in righteousness, how to stay right and holy and blameless before God and completely equipped. Can I give you some thoughts here? Damon has given us a challenge as a chapel. We're going to do some memorization because we see the need of the Word of God more in our lives, especially in memorization. We do this as a family activity now. We do this as a way to encourage and challenge ourselves to know the Word of God. If you're at work, and Jebby was talking about this recently, he listens to the Bible on audio. Why not listen to the Bible on audio, either to your work, coming home from work, or even at work? Or when you're at home, if you're at home with the kids, listening to the Word of God, dwelling upon Him, understanding, Lord, what do You want from me? We need this more in our lives. For the Word of God, I want to go back here real quick. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness, the right standing, the right living of God is revealed from faith to faith. Are you willing? Are we willing to know God more in our lives? This is the heart thought. This is the knowledge that God is challenging us with. I was just really impressed by, I'll close with this. The first, one of the first main speaking sessions of this conference, a brother spoke up. He was speaking from the platform, and I was convicted right away. I got to be honest. I was convicted because there was a brother I heard maybe 10 years ago, and I wasn't expecting a lot, but you know that when the Lord grabs your heart, he challenged through this brother a thought of how intimate am I with my Savior? How intimate am I with the Savior? And am I willing to grow? We're so ready to just let life pass on by and not challenge us in anything. If anything, the challenge in our life should be till the Lord returns, right? Till the Lord returns, are we running after Christ? Are we actively running after Christ? If we're not, it will show in our lives. I challenge you to understand these words and to challenge each other even more in this. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we come before You and to, Lord, just, Lord, we thank You for Your living Word, Your active Word. Lord, that speaks right to our heart and shows us the sin and evilness in our heart, Lord, and how we need to run to You every single moment, every single day of our lives. Lord, help us to be Bereans that study the Word of God, search the Scriptures daily, Lord, and that we may grow and run after You in every aspect of our life, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be examples to our children, Lord, that they may have a growing desire to know Your Word, to understand Your Word, to memorize it, to meditate on it, Lord, and that they may reap the many blessings, Lord, that You pour down in this abundant life we have in You. Lord, I thank You for this time, this opportunity we have to study Your Word. Lord, may we not take it for granted, but let us be challenged, Lord, to understand it and apply these principles to our life. Lord, I want to stand. I want to stand like Paul, Lord, and say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I may understand this truth more in my life for 2016. Lord, and I pray in the same fashion for Western Wake Bible Chapel. Lord, I pray that You would challenge us all. In Your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.